invite you to turn in your Bibles the last few minutes that we have here on singing night to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. There's a text here that quite a few of us are probably very familiar with. There in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, this is a beautiful text, a spectacular text, and it's one that we most certainly fulfilled tonight in the songs that we sang together. But I want us to look a little closer at this and get hopefully a better understanding, a better grasp of it, possibly if we don't already have a better grasp of it, that would be my intention for us to get a deeper perspective of what this text is really dealing with. Because as I just read it, there's no context. I mean, there is a context though, right? But I didn't read the context. I didn't read that to you. And it looks like Paul here is talking to the church at Ephesus. He's talking to a church after all, and he's talking to this church about singing. And so surely this is exactly what we've done here, and in a way it absolutely is exactly what we've done here, but there's more to it than that. When you're reading through Ephesians, especially here in chapter 5 and chapter 6, he leaves the discussion of talking about the church and what the church is to be doing, and he moves on to talk about the individual. And it's here in Ephesians 5:19 where he's talking about singing, addressing in song and speaking in song, that we actually find the commands outside of the church building, all right, outside of the assembling together. Now, once again, that doesn't mean that we can't sing together as a church collectively. We most certainly can, and I think Colossians chapter 3 would be possibly a better resource, a better reference rather, for us in understanding our need to possibly sing in the assembly. But Ephesians 5 is not dealing with the assembly. Ephesians 5 deals with husbands at home and wives at home. And then it goes into chapter 6 talking about children at home. But if you back up even further than that, he talked about the idea, the beginning of the chapter is dealing with our removal away from impurities and sexual immorality out in the world. Verse 4, he says, "Let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." And so what he's dealing with here, he's giving commands about don't be giving crude jokes, don't be talking about filthiness. Is he talking about their assembly? I mean, what a wild assembly that would be. Crude jokes, filthy talk. No, he's talking about things that go on outside of this place, right? He goes further. He talks about how they need to walk as children in children of the light. He talks about their need to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. In verse 11, he says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." Now, there could be application of that in the assembly, but again, these are things more geared towards our lives outside of the assembly as Christians. In verse 14, he says, "For anything that becomes visible as light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we see here, as we're getting a better grasp, as we're just simply reading the context, he's talking about things again outside of the assembly and how they're walking. And he tells them to walk carefully or walk circumspectly when they're, you know, out in the world. And he says, make the best use out of your time. He says, don't be a foolish person, but understand God's will for us and for our lives on earth. In verse 18, he says, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. When is this to happen? In the assembly? Well, hopefully there would never be anyone drunk with wine in the assembly, but it would be kind of out of place for him to talk about odd situations like that. Oh, he's talking about their lives outside. Their lives as individual Christians, not collected together as an assembly or as the body of Christ. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. When are we to be filled with the Spirit? Well, I think it goes without saying we're to be filled with the Spirit in the assembly. But Paul is making the point that we are to be filled with the Spirit throughout our life. Our daily walk, we're filled with the Spirit. We're not to be messy. So we see the fuller picture here. Don't mess with filthiness. Don't mess with sexual immorality. Don't mess with, you know, crude joking, foolish talk. Walk carefully. Make the best use of your time. Don't mess with drunkenness. You know, be filled with the Spirit. This is our life as a Christian. We walk in the light, he says. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he says in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is a command. This is an instruction for our lives, and it's one that helps us to be filled with the Spirit. How do I live my daily life, and how do I help myself get to a point of an uplifted fullness, okay? Well, that's the answer. He gives us one of the solutions is to sing. To sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. The word make melody there, we've defined this before, I'll do it again though. It means to pluck the strings. Melody in the Greek means to pluck the strings. A lot of people want to take that and run with it, right? But you can only run so far as the context. You can't leave the context. He said, make melody, literally, that means pluck the strings. Pluck the strings of the heart. Okay, he said the heart. He didn't say an instrument. He's not calling for a man-made instrument here. He's calling for a God-made instrument. Our hearts. He said, pluck the strings of your heart. Make melody in your heart, is what he said. And so we know, I'm sure probably all of us in this room very familiar with that, and which is why we don't, you know, have instrumental music here. And it's also why, as this is not a command for the assembly, well, it is a command for, as I said, you know, Colossians 3, same idea. But this is specifically talking about outside the assembly, which gives us, once again, all the more the demand that we cannot engage in instrumental music in praise to God or songs that have to do with God. We cannot engage in those things outside of the assembly either. We can't do it inside the assembly. That's not what God's asked out of us. That's not what pleases Him. What He's given is His will, His pleasure. We want to please God. And so we pluck the strings of our hearts and nothing else but our hearts. Then we go outside the assembly and we say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about outside the assembly. I can do whatever I want. I mean, here in the text it says, be not drunk with wine. I guess that just applies to only in the assembly. And I can do whatever I want outside. Obviously not. We know how foolish that is. So what we're dealing with here in the text is his instruction for them when they are dispersed into the world, walking circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, walking as children of light, being filled with the Spirit, and they are singing songs. And who are they singing these songs to? And I think this is part of the problem, is when you look at the part of the problem of interpretation or understanding of this text, I think, when you look at the original Greek, this word, one another, that's two words in the English. It's one word in the Greek, one another. All right. It is a reflexive pronoun, which that may not mean much to a lot of us, unless you're an English teacher. But a reflexive pronoun is myself, himself, herself, themselves, ourselves. The word used elsewhere in the New Testament usually is translated himself. That's the predominant use of the Greek word. But as that reflexive pronoun, it can refer to anyone under discussion. If it's a man under discussion, it would be himself. If it's a woman under discussion, it would be herself. So when you look at it from the perspective of the Greek, we might get the idea when he says to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that means that we have to be in the assembly. Because what other opportunities do we have? We might live alone and things like that. What opportunities do we have to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? And so I think it's kind of unfortunate the way which is translated, because the original thrust here of God of Paul's word to the Ephesians is speaking to yourselves. That's the meaning of the word. In fact, it's not translated one another any other time in Scripture. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See, he's talking about as they're going out in the world, living their life. He says, don't be drunk with wine. He says, be filled rather. Don't be filled with alcohol. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be under the influence of alcohol. Be under the influence of the Spirit. Let Him be your direction. Let His Word be your guide. And then he goes on further to say, how can you better accomplish that? By speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So Paul is not dealing in any way here at this point in time. He wasn't talking about the assembly, but the daily life of a Christian. This is something we can all do as Christians. We do it collectively, and we do it singularly. We carry these songs with us. We carry these melodies in our hearts with us day after day. We sing them in our head. We sing them out loud, whatever it may be. And we sing them together here. All of which it is working towards filling ourselves up with good things, with godly things, with good words, with purity, instead of filling ourselves up with the things of the world. So when we're out there in the world, we've got to carry these songs with us. We've got to live a life when we are speaking to ourselves. That's what Paul was desiring out of the brethren at Ephesus when he said this. Speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So this, looking at it from the perspective of the context, really changes everything for me, maybe for you just as well. It helps me to understand that God doesn't have a command for how singing is to be done in the assembly, and then we can do whatever we want outside the assembly. You know, bang on how many drums we want, or strum how many guitars we want, praising Him. Absolutely not. We just saw Paul establish the order for the Christian life, and that God does not desire us beating a drum or strumming or, you know, or tickling the ivories, whatever it may be. This is not His will for us. Why? You know, I don't know the mind of God. Why would you ask me why? But why did He command David to use instruments? Because it was His will for David to use instruments, and He didn't command me to do so. He gave me specific instructions. So I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to seek to do what is pleasing in His sight. And this is all that I know to do, is what He has revealed for us in His Word. So we learn a lot from considering a little closer the context of Ephesians 5. And we see that this singing is not to be limited to our assembly, but it's something that we need to press forward in our life and tomorrow be singing these songs, you know, helping ourselves to be filled with the Spirit of God, living by His influence, living by His direction. So I appreciate your attention this evening. And it has been wonderful, as always, to sing collectively with you. If there is anyone here who desires to come into the Lord for salvation, then won't you come tonight? Won't you be resolved tonight in your mind? If you have faith in Christ, won't you confess that faith in Him? Won't you repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins? If that describes your need, then won't you please come forward and let us know. All together we stand. Careless soul.